We're here at the Orium Sports Performance Centre at Heriot Watt University, where the Team GB Paralympic skiers are being kitted out for the upcoming Milano Cortina Winter Games 2026. I'm delighted to be joined by the joker of the pack, Fred Warburton, and his guide, James Hanna. Thank you both of you for joining me. I believe, Fred, this is your first Games.
Really crazy boiled down experience for us, in terms of we had our first ever race on the 22nd of February 2025. So we have gone from having our first race to qualifying for Paralympics GB team at Milano Cortina 2026 in under 12 months.
How long have you been skiing?
So I sort of first started skiing on sort of school trips and family holidays when I was 4 years old, and then I met a wonderful woman called Mickey, who is Italian and lives in Italy, and we are now married, and I moved over to Italy and started skiing much more frequently.
A lot more access to
slopes. Yeah, exactly. A lot more access to big mountains than there is in Lincolnshire, the flattest county in the UK. And yeah, 2 years ago, Jimbo came into my world, my second wife.
Yeah, my second.
Okay. And what's your background, James?
I used to ski race, and I stopped around the time of COVID because it was complicated with travelling.
Yeah.
I went to university, started ski coaching whilst at university, and I was offered the chance to guide. And then guided for a year and a half, and then was introduced to Fred. And then...
Now, you're saying it all happened rapid.
Really quick.
Is it because you clicked? The performance good because you both clicked together?
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors. Like, we built a really sort of great team out in Italy and here in the UK that have supported us really well to get us sort of from, well, I say us, James is a fantastic, wonderful skier. I was sort of more from a touristy background, but getting us from that sort of tourist level skier into a ski racer in under 2 years has been a mammoth journey, and one that we couldn't have done without the support of coaches, physios, people here in the UK supporting on the admin side. And mainly Jimbo here, who has taken so much time out of his studies and so much time out of his life to support me on this journey. And something that I'm really acutely aware that this was my dream. And Jimbo has given up so, so much to help deliver this dream. I hope it's your dream as well.
Enjoying being here.
Shared dream.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
let's go back a wee bit. Can you talk about your sight loss?
Yeah, absolutely. So 7 years ago, I... Well, probably a bit further back than that. Nine or so years ago, I noticed I was really struggling in lower light conditions. I was walking into things in pubs, and I hadn't even had a beer yet. So it was usually as soon as I'd entered in lower dim light conditions, I was walking to bar stools, people. I was getting kicked out of pubs before even having a drink because they thought I was drunk, but I just couldn't see anything. And then came sort of some crunches in the car and some collisions, and I was thinking something's not quite right. Something is not normal with this situation. So I went to an optician's, and they referred me to Moorfields Eye Hospital in London, to the genetics department under Professor Michalidis, and subsequently told, after quite a number of tests, that I had a degenerative retinal condition called retinitis pigmentosa. It's obviously quite common for those who know a fair bit about eye disease, and I was essentially told that I was losing my vision from the outside in, and I had very restricted vision at that point of diagnosis, so only sort of around 20 degrees of useful vision at that point. And I was told that it was degenerating, and the field of vision was getting much tighter.
Was it a relief being diagnosed?
It was a shock. It was a major shock. I was hoping that this is something that... I mean, I don't really know what I was hoping. I went into it kind of pretty oblivious to all of this. I didn't know that this condition even existed. I hadn't heard the name, and it was a massive shock for me and for my family. I think it's incredible that you can go from not knowing or understanding about anything to having quite a lot of support there for you in a matter of 3 hours. So I'd left Moorfields with leaflets for the RNIB for different services and support that was available, for the amazing team at Moorfields that help you get set up with the administration. It was a turning point in that. One day I walked in without thinking of myself as being disabled and not understanding the barriers that I was facing on a daily basis, to then sort of having that realization and understanding that actually, yeah, there is a reason that, you know, I'm the clumsy one in a meeting at work, or I'm the person tripping over the, out of our mates, tripping over the curb.
I guess that's what I mean with relief. Yeah. Not that you don't want to be told that, but at least you know why it's happening to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I introduced you as the joker of the pack, but you've obviously got a serious side well. But do you think it was that having that fun side of you and the positive outlook that's probably helped you get through those times?
I think massively. And I think you can't, it's all right being the joker of the pack, but you're faced with really serious and life-changing news at that point, in some respect.
Now, we're here today for the kitten out. I imagine that must be really exciting for both of you as well. Describe the experience, what's been happening, and the kit you've been given.
We arrive today and we get, I guess, presented with the collection of clothes which we are expected to wear in competition and then within the village. So we go through each item and we have a personal shopper who's assigned to us to help us make the right decision as to what size of clothes we want. For me as a guide, there's some different specifications to my clothing compared to the rest. So for example, my race suit is brightly colours.
So I can spot him.
Can you describe what you're both wearing just now to the listeners?
Yeah.
So mini blue waterproof Adidas jackets with some a red Great Britain on the front and then white Paralympic logos.
And the logo's a lion's head logo, above the Paralympic GC.
Exactly.
The Union flag on the side, that's a white one.
White one, yes.
So red,
really
red and
nice
blue.
Sort of tactile design as well on all the zippers, which has been great.
We've spoken a little bit about how you get into the sport.
Yeah.
Now that you're here, what are your aims for the competition? Are you chasing medals?
So I think everybody, every athlete with an athlete's mindset is going to go into this Games hoping for the best. I think the way we need to approach it, given our experience like sort of so far and the way we've done well, so winning the Italian national champs, the US national champs, we went into that just trying to ski our best stuff, trying to go there with a plan, with a strategy to how we're going to approach the hill, how we're going to approach the race, and not worrying about anyone else. Skiing's an interesting sport in that it's really down to you to put your best run down, and you don't have much control over what your competitors are doing. So we're going to go there, we're going to try and execute our plans, ski our best stuff, and see what happens in terms of the medals. Of course, we'd love to come home with gold. It would be an amazing thing to for our team and for our supporters and for us.
What sort of speeds will you be getting up to on the slope?
Without getting too far into the classification system and the different levels of impairment in our sport, we're in what's called an AS4 category of skier, so we have quite a high handicap in terms of time penalty that we give to other racers. So we in theory have the most useful vision out of all the ski racers, so therefore have to ski the quickest in order to be competitive. So our speeds will be some of the highest out of all of the visually impaired category. We could hit speeds in the downhill and the super G of well above 120-125 kilometers an hour. So you're looking at motorway speeds.
That's fast.
In a Lycra suit.
Well, listen, I wish you all the best. From everyone at RNIB Connect Radio, best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
it's been
much.
A pleasure chatting to you. And thank you to RNIB and everyone who works at RNIB for the valuable work that you're doing.